kickoff to the final whistle. Your front row seat to college football lives here on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Final hour of the program here on a Wednesday. Final hour of the week here on a Wednesday here with Faxon and John on The Roar. Folks, if you're looking for a tractor as hard as you do, go to Mahindra of Anderson. It's your local source for the toughest, most reliable tractors on the market. Whether you're working the farm, maintaining your property, or need heavy-duty power, Mahindra has the perfect tractor, UTV, implement, or trailer for the job. You can buy it new, you can shop pre-owned, or you can schedule service appointments to order parts. Whatever you need. Best customer service in the upstate is at Mahindra of Anderson. You can check them out in person at 507 Pyramid Dairy Road or online at mahindraofanderson.com. We usually have Tiger Night Thursdays. We're off Thursday, Friday this week for 4th of July. So we're going to get Grayson Mann in here on kind of an adapted Tiger Night Wednesday, if you will. Grayson, good to hear from you, brother. How we living?
Hey, we adapt, man. We adapt. So it's always good to hop on, man. I appreciate the time.
For sure. Excited to chat through some things today with you. First and foremost, we haven't brought this up on the program at all this week. Kind of wanted to start on more of a lighthearted note. Have you seen the new NCAA football video game ratings and where the Tigers stack up within those ratings?
Yeah, we ran a couple things on TigerNet. I'm still trying to figure out a way to find the game get written off or something. I don't know. Try to make it as like a work thing. We're still trying to figure that out, Faxon. I haven't pre-ordered the game yet, but the excitement around the Clemson community to be able to play with this new team, it's like the upgraded version from College Football 25, and the recognition or the summer of love that Clemson's gotten, it's translated into some pretty nice ratings. T.J. Parker, Peter Woods, you may be frustrating your friends occasionally if you use those on the pass rush. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, definitely, and that's for certain. I will say this. I will be playing the game, obviously. I know you will be playing the game as well. It's weird to have Clemson as, like, the best team in the game. I'm not sure what the team ratings actually look like, but as far as, like, a lot of the positional players go, Cade's the best quarterback in the game. I know T.J. Parker, Peter Woods, those guys are up there amongst the best at their positions in the game. I guess, what are your thoughts on... And do you take any value into the fact that those ratings kind of reflect what we're seeing from a preseason hype perspective with the Tigers?
Yeah, it's funny, too, because what'll be interesting is the game will update every week, so those ratings could potentially take a dip or they could potentially continue to soar. Like, I would assume that, let's say that Bryant Wesco and T.J. Moore, two people that you and I both believe have another level to tap into and will tap into that this fall, we could see those guys skyrocket into higher ratings and only serve to boost Clemson's rating on that game. It's interesting to see how sort of they take into account. There's so many different factors to come together with one specific number for these players, but it is a reflection in a way of how the country and how these developers have viewed Clemson as a team, not just because Cade Klubnik is one of their guys for the cover, depending on which edition you buy, but just overall, a lot of people, if they're going to try to play as one of the better teams, Clemson will be at the top of their mind as a quarterback that can run around, and you get an elite pass rush, so that takes care of a lot of the issues. So it is fascinating to see how that projection, I guess, or perception, excuse me, has continued to grow for this team, even through video games.
Yeah, definitely. Even if it is just a video game, there definitely is something to be taken from it as we continue to visit with Grayson Mann here from TigerNet, talking through the world of Clemson athletics. Well, Grayson, Clemson football recruiting has been a hot topic as of late for a plethora of reasons. Give us a little bit of an update since we last visited on what the latest is in the world of Clemson recruiting. I know there are a couple ongoing recruiting battles that Clemson's got their hat in the ring of, a couple commitments throughout the course of last week. Walk us through the latest in the world of Clemson football recruiting.
Yeah, I don't know if the last time we met, Faxon, we discussed the commitment of Dre Quinn out of Buford, now going to be teammates with another Clemson target, potential commitment here in a couple days. While you're grilling steaks and watching the fireworks, Clemson is closely monitoring Bryce Perry Wright of Buford as well, and that's going to go down on July 5th at 7 o'clock, I'm pretty sure. And that is one fact that I've written about for the last several months, that it's a prospect that you have at the top of your board for a reason. And we've gone in depth about how this class has really been a return to form whether it's Clemson really, I think it's hacking the national stage and being able to beat out schools like Texas for Dre Quinn or a Penn State and Michigan for guys like Carter Scruggs and Leo Delaney on the offensive line. This one right now feels like Clemson and Texas A&M are battling it out. That's another big program with a lot of funds that can back up the Brinks truck and really give any type of top prospect what they would desire. So Clemson's got a battle right there. I've considered them the leader of the clubhouse, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't take their foot off the gas. And so it's been kind of a weird thing to monitor because nothing ever feels certain. But this recruitment, if Clemson can, if they can finish strongly and secure this type of prospect, it would turn a great class into a special one.
Yeah, for certain. And right now, obviously, Clemson well entrenched within that top 10 on most services and well within that top 5 in some services as well as far as the recruiting rankings go. Now, obviously, you know, I encourage you guys to not be a slave to the rankings, right? It's just a barometer, and, you know, those things can be biased. But, Grayson, nationally speaking, we talk about perception, we talk about optics all the time. The optics for the Clemson football team this year, they're really good. They're getting a ton of preseason hype as national championship contenders. You got the video game ratings to back it up. PFF's putting out articles. National analysts are predicting Clemson to go to the national championship, win the national championship, etc. And then you talk about this uptick in recruiting, which has caught the attention of guys like Josh Pate, who have been previously critical of Clemson's recruiting, and the way that this is continuing to kind of build with the new rev share system where Clemson's got a leg up on a lot of other schools. It feels like the pendulum is starting to swing back from a perception and an optic standpoint on the program of Clemson football. Now, you're more in that world where optics matter a ton, and right, and you're, you know, working with the primary outlet for the institution, and you get more of a, I guess, viewpoint of where other people are at on this. So do you think I'm mistaken by saying there is a much more positive demeanor towards Clemson football right now than at any point in the last 4 to 5 seasons?
I think that's pretty accurate, and I think last year, where you had a 2025 recruiting class that was seemingly picked apart,
yes,
like the gates were open, there was no passcode, you just walked in, and you took who you wanted, and whether that was just a change of heart from these players or a funds thing, I don't want to speak on these guys who had made those decisions, but yeah, it was tough from an outsider's perspective if you don't really know what's going on to say, what is happening in Tigertown, what's in the water over there, something brewing, and with the results on the field being that they were for the last several years, you sort of felt like, okay, is this the sign of truly that falling off where people started to write off Clemson a little bit? I think last year you started to see the uptick with the Texas competition, the recruiting that they've been able to solidify with this class, and all the returning production. It all comes together to make this nice. It's like a dessert, really. You're getting all the right ingredients together. It smells really good, but is it going to taste well? And we're going to find out against LSU. And that's where I think this opener means so much to Clemson. I know a lot of people will make it about Brian Kelly and not being able to win the opener for the last several years with LSU. But for Clemson to come out and say, okay, we've brought in Tom Allen, we've got all this production back, and then boom, you can stack that by beating a pretty darn good LSU team that dominated the transfer portal this spring, I think that would say a lot about where this Clemson program's heading in terms of progress, and maybe a reminder that, yeah, it was a slight bump in the road, but they're still on the right direction, and this is still a program run by Dabo Swinney that's as elite as it's been in quite some time.
Yeah, for certain. As we continue to visit with Grayson Mann as a part of TigerNet, we usually do Thursdays, but Wednesdays this week with an abbreviated week. Grayson, a couple more Clemson football things to ask you before we shift gears throughout the course of the rest of the athletic department. So I will say this. There's a couple things going on right now in the world of Clemson football that I want to ask you about. So from your perspective and in your position and in your lens with the media, as we start to ramp things up towards the season, you're going to start to get the access to these practices, these media availability sessions. You're going to get a chance to go put your eyes on these guys a little bit more than you've been able to throughout the course of the last couple months where availability is more limited. Who are some guys that are flying under the radar right now that you feel like have a chance to make an impact, and who will you be watching for when we start to get over back in the facility watching practice once again?
You know, I think the one question that's on everybody's minds is you're going to start going to the the Wescos and the Moore, how do they look? How does the running back room look? There's one name that I think actually, and this might be one of my questions to Dabo Swinney, is more of a forward-looking answer, and not really in terms of how this season will play out. But one of the players on my mind is, how do the quarterbacks behind Kate Klubnik look? What do the Vezinas and the Chris Dentons look like? Because that is your future, like it or not. After the season is over, Kate Klubnik's gone. He's going to the NFL. And so how does the development of Vezina, who was a big topic of the spring, where he was getting a lot of the reps, they know what they have in two. They know what they have seen with Klubnik. They need to see the future of this program. How does that continue to develop? What kind of work has Vezina put in? What does Dabo expect out of him in terms of development and where they feel like they stand with him? And another position I think that a lot of fans should probably be looking at a little bit more are safety and punter, just the vacuum of talent. Who's going to replace R.J. Mickens? Are some of the younger guys, like maybe Ricardo Jones, is he going to step up? And then obviously with punter, you and I have, I feel like we've been leading the charge on this fact, and maybe you so more than I, but we've been hammering it home since the Texas game that punter needs to be addressed, and there have been some shifts in the roster, and I think it's going to be open season for competition. Really interested to see not only the answer surrounding that, but some of these players, how does the attitude, how does that shift around? Who steps up in that viewing period that we get?
That's the next question that I was going to ask you about, was the roster changes. So a lot of people have kind of identified, I guess online is the best way that I know how to say it, with the roster, about somebody being added as a kicker slash punter. Do you have an update in that world about, you know, what the latest with the Clemson football roster looks like with special teams?
Yeah, they're bolstering up the competition a little bit. I do think that Jack Smith is going to be the leader in that clubhouse faction as of right now. I think if we had to ask Dabo Swinney, I don't want to put words in his mouth, obviously, but you're going to have this interesting dynamic with Charlie Reed and Jack Smith and obviously Robert Gunn, too, who was punting during the spring. You're going to get a different look from a lot of different players. So you have an interesting dynamic there. I think competition can only benefit to serve the position in a positive way. I think it'll be healthy for that group that has sort of had, you had your mainstay for years, and then you find the next mainstay. This year feels like an interesting pivot where you're going to have three guys at the very least who are competing for that job, and hopefully that only serves to benefit, at least in Sweeney's mind, he hopes that serves to benefit that special teams group that on one hand is one of the best kickers in the country, and then the other hand, if your offense sputters out, obviously their plan is to just never punt with the amount of players that they're bringing in that spot. But at some point, you're going to have to pin somebody, and one of these guys is going to have to do it.
Yeah, definitely. As we continue to visit with Grayson Mann as a part of TigerNet Wednesday, kind of shifting gears here with the abbreviated week for 4th of July here on The Roar. Grayson, the final Clemson football-related question I'll ask you relates to running back, because that's been the hot topic throughout the course of the offseason. Who's getting the carries? Who's getting the lion's share of the snap share, whatever you want to say, related to the running back room? It feels like for a roster with so much continuity, and it feels like with a roster that has so much familiarity, running back is really our only question mark as of right now on offense. So in your perspective, what you've seen and heard and all the messaging throughout the course of the offseason, what is the latest in the running back room, and what are we anticipating to see as we get closer and closer towards that LSU game?
I think it's going to look different, Faxon. You have this weird transition period where I think a lot of fans, their first name that's going to pop into their mind is your four-star recruit that's coming in Gideon Davis, and how does that work out? How does that development take place? But at the same time, this is a group that probably is going to run by committee for September, at the very least, in my eyes, because there's so many different factors, whether that's picking up a certain blitz assignment on third down, because we've seen on many opportunities, even Phil Moffa at one point, a missed third down assignment led to a scoop and six by Florida State back in that 2023 matchup that went to overtime. Obviously, that one score being the difference. So there's a lot of things right there that they have to try to identify. So I think in my mind, right now, if you had to probably name a leader in the clubhouse, and this is just, I think right now you probably shift to David Ezeomume. I really like what he did this spring. I feel like he probably did the most for himself in terms of where he's headed, where he was at in the roster. And obviously, you have different situations for different spots. Keith Adams, maybe use your short line, short yardage running back. Adam Randall's a guy that you try to utilize that athleticism out of the backfield, just find different ways to get him the ball. And then I think it all centers around Davidson and how quickly he can become your bell cow back. And a lot of players and a lot of little sound bites, per se, had compared Davidson to a little mini Travis Etienne. And if that's the case, it will be very tough for Spiller to keep him off the field.
Yeah, definitely in agreement there. Well, Grayson, we'll give you a chance real quick to plug up your stuff here today after a Clemson football segment. We appreciate you taking some time, even with the on the phone. I know you guys had a big podcast that you had to record, so we'll let you get out of here. But where can we check out your content during a crazy off season with the folks at TigerNet?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at gray_man21 or find our stuff at tigernet.com. And you mentioned that podcast, Max, and we just finished recording up with Mark Packer. Just talking to him about his retirement, what's next for him, as well as his outlook on the ACC and Clemson. So that'll be dropping shortly later today. Just working out a couple of editing kinks before we had hopped onto this segment. But really excited about that one for you guys to check out. About 35 minutes of just football knowledge from Mark and a couple of fun stories along the way.
So, yeah.
Baxton, thank you as always. You guys have a great 4th of July. God bless y'all.
For sure. You as well, Grayson. We appreciate you checking in. That's Grayson Mann with TigerNet. Again, abbreviated week this week due to 4th of July, so he's hopping in on Wednesday. About 40 minutes left in the program on the other side of a short break. We'll be running through some NFL topics, then going around the horn in the final segment with Faxon and John on a Wednesday here on The Roar.
Let me tell you about my great friends over at QC Kinetics. If you've got hip pain, knee pain, shoulder pain right now, and you're tired of the cycle of steroid shots, and now they're talking surgery, well, hit pause just for a second and maybe get a second opinion. At QC Kinetics right now, we're talking about 92% of the patients report satisfaction with the results. That's not just a number. That's a peace of mind. That's like something that getting you back to your way of life. 92%. What a fantastic success story they keep having. This is regenerative medicine. This is cellular health treatments. This is helping your body heal itself. Ask if QC Kinetics can help you. See if you can be one of the 92% that's getting helped out by these good folks right now. Get that second opinion. It is a free second opinion. This is a licensed medical provider that's going to go over your x-rays and MRIs and see if they can be maybe a good fit for you and the breakthrough. Call them today. 864-448-3772. 864-448-3772. Again, 864-448-3772.
For a move that's as smooth as it is affordable, trust Tiger Moving Company. Our team of highly trained professionals is dedicated to providing extraordinary customer service, making your transition stress-free. Recognized with multiple awards, we are Greenville's top choice for reliable moving services. Don't let moving be a hassle. Visit our website, tigermovinggreenville.com, or call 908-9028 today to experience the Tiger difference. Tiger Moving Company, where your move is our mission.
We're here with Eric Schneider, Schneider Tree Care. Eric, I know that you're always looking to hire. Your business is growing like crazy. So let's talk about reasons that people would choose to come to work for Schneider Tree Care.
You know, Mickey, years ago, I looked at the team we had and I thought, gosh, if I want to keep people long term, I've got to provide for them. So we brought on health care, holiday pay, vacation pay, uniforms. At Schneider Tree, we say we're a professional company that happens to do tree care.
Leave it to Schneider Tree Care.
Make living easy this summer with Craft Stove Store and Patio, America's best in outdoor furniture. Make sure your outdoor space has everything it needs to impress your guests this summer with everything Craft Stove Store and Patio can provide by Lloyd Flanders, Hanamint Summer Classics, and Palm Springs Rattan. You can special order anything you need for your patio, porch, and pool furniture with Craft Stove Store and Patio, located at 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard in Taylor.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Contractors, we know what it takes to build something great. Long days, hard work, and the right materials. At Harbin Lumber Company, we're here to make sure you've got everything you need to get the job done. Since 1917, we've been your trusted partner in building dreams. From framing lumber to finished materials, when you work with Harbin, you're not just getting quality supplies, you're getting a team that's got your back. Visit one of our local lumber yards today and let's build dreams together.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/radio to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Dick's epic 4th of July sale is on. Get summer ready with 25% off select Stanley drinkware. Get 20% off Igloo coolers and water bottles and select bog bags. Buy one, get one 50% off DSG coolers, canopies, chairs, and water bottles. $200 off Callaway AI smoke irons and TaylorMade QI10 drivers. These deals won't last. Stock up for summer now, in-store or online at Dick's.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Whoa, it's you, the Capital One Bank guy.
That's what they call me.
Mind if I get a selfie?
Yeah, sure thing. Say no fees or minimums on your Capital One checking account.
Wow, that's a keeper. So, where are you heading?
I'm off to spread the good news that Capital One helps people keep more money in their wallet with no overdraft fees.
Oh, you're the best Capital One Bank guy.
Hey, mind if I get a selfie?
Sure.
Say, Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Get your questions in daily on the Adams & Co. Roofing text line at 654-ROAR. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Final hour of the program continues with Faxon and John here on Wednesday. Folks, football season's approaching. Nothing's better than cheering on your favorite team in the comfort of your home with your family and friends. Go with Fort Hill Natural Gas. They're here to make any season of the year enjoyable. And this is just an unbelievable company. They're going to provide efficiency for you with natural gas, and it's going to make your game day even better. To firing up the grill to those perfect burgers and brats, keeping everybody warm when the sun goes down in the wintertime, or maybe it's grilling out during the summertime when you've got your kids in the backyard throwing the football around. Natural gas is your MVP year-round, folks. It's fast, it's reliable, it's always ready to fuel your fun, and you can make your next game day gathering great by visiting Fort Hill Natural Gas, FHNGA.com. Score big on some savings today. Year-round service, year-round coverage, Fort Hill Natural Gas, make them your provider. John, I want to talk NFL here in this segment because we haven't done a ton of NFL talk over the last couple of days. We've got a couple topics. I know you're bringing up this fact or fiction document that's really just helping us kind of spark some conversation on specific teams. There's three teams in specific that I want to talk about in this segment. Raiders, Steelers, Eagles, because you put some interesting things on the sheet about all three teams. I want to kind of parse out the whole Raiders thing first because their trajectory throughout the course of this offseason has admittedly confused me a little bit. I don't hate it, for the record. I don't hate it. I kind of understand what they're doing. But at the same time, Pete Carroll, Geno Smith? Like, is this going to revive the Las Vegas Raiders and try and potentially put them back into the playoff picture? What do you have for us on Las Vegas headed into this upcoming year?
So the question posed on here, fact or fiction, Pete Carroll, Chip Kelly, and Geno Smith revive the Las Vegas Raiders and get them to the playoffs in one of their first two seasons.
The playoffs have been expanded, okay? That is worth acknowledging as a part of this, right? It's not as difficult to make the playoffs as it once was in this league. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say fact for this for the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm not sure if it's going to be this year, but I think next year could be a real possibility. And maybe I'm buying too much stock into an ancient Pete Carroll, right? But if there's anybody that can defy age and show some energy and pump some life into this group, I think it's going to be Pete Carroll. And also, knowing what we know about Pete Carroll, and I'm not the biggest fan in the world. I don't know if there's any massive Pete Carroll fans out there. I don't think he would have taken this job if he didn't think he could win at this job, if that makes sense. Like, Pete Carroll isn't a guy, in my eyes, that would be coming out or making this change in his career, rather, at this stage in his career. He could have just rode into the sunset. He could have had a completely great retirement, could have lived his life for however much longer and rode off into the sunset as a great football coach that everybody respected. Super Bowl champion, very accomplished at the collegiate level, great coach. Would he really have taken this job, John, is my question for you, if he did not have real incentive or real drive to want to win and succeed?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he would just take the job just to take the job. I say fact, but I'm not 100% sold because of one position group, wide receiver. In my opinion, I don't like anybody in the wide receiver room in Las Vegas. Was Jacoby Myers your best option? Okay, don't feel great about that. But when I look at this team and I look at some of the pieces they have assembled, I want to start on the offensive side of the ball here. Chip Kelly, I think we can agree on this, is a much better football coach when he is a play caller and not the CEO of an organization.
Yes.
I think he prefers to be a play caller versus being the CEO of an organization.
It is so he better is, for everyone, right?
He is where he needs to be. I think with Geno Smith, now do you have the highest ceiling of any quarterback in the league? No, far from it. But does he bring to you a pretty good floor? Yes, he does. You have extremely good tight end options in Brock Bowers, Michael Mayer, and Ian Thomas. A lot of 12 personnel, you can do some stuff out of there. And I like the running back room of Ashton Jeanty, Raheem Mostert, and Zamir White. I think you can find a quality running game there. Yeah, I think that they had a very good draft a year ago when they got Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon. I think Colton Miller can play at left tackle. You know, so I think there's some pieces there where they can run the football, hit those tight ends, have a chance to build on that offense.
There are multiple tight ends in this room that are intriguing, and it goes without saying, like, you just hit on it. Like, that's if there's a calling card for this offense, I'm relying on Bowers, Meyer, and Ian Thomas, who I actually think is a pretty decent little player as well. And I even consider flirting with lining Brock Bowers up in the slot more often than not with how weak the remainder of your wide receiver room is.
Right, yeah, and I think there's something there, and they will continue to build and add on to it over the next couple of off seasons. One of the things, though, that I'm buying here, it's going to take a little bit of time because he is still not healthy, but if Christian Wilkins can get back to full health,
yeah,
opposite Max Crosby, I love the selections of Tonka Hemingway and J.J. Pegues at defensive tackle in this draft in the middle of rounds. I think you have something there that you can build on, especially if you could ever get anything for where you drafted Tyree Wilson in the draft. But I also think that they made some very smart veteran signings at the linebacker spot. Not only did they bring in Jermaine Pratt, who was just released from the Bengals not that long ago, and Landon Roberts from Pittsburgh, two guys who are, they're not elite, but they are going to give you quality starter snaps at linebacker. I thought bringing in Jeremy Chinn from Washington was a very nice add at the safety position. So I think there are pieces there. You know, as it is with any team that we are trying to project in any sport, health is a big deal. But I'm starting to see some pieces that provide some actual substance to this roster and to this team versus the last couple of seasons when they've been going around with various head coaches and not really sure of the direction. I think for the first time in the last few seasons, they have a little bit of direction.
The defense is intriguing to me. I actually think this has a chance to be a top 10 defense in the National Football League if everything clicks on this side of the ball. I mean, you look at the personnel that they have on the defensive line. Malcolm Kuntz on one edge. Max Crosby's one of the best defensive ends in football on the other edge. And then you've got Wilkins, as you alluded to, and Adam Butler clogging it up on the inside. You signed Leki Fotu from New York, which provides you a little bit of depth. You talk about Tyree Wilson, a guy that hasn't necessarily panned out yet, but he has major, major upside in your hoping he can become that edge rusher on the other side of Crosby and eventually bump Malcolm Kuntz out of that role. Then you draft Tonka and Pegues. You have depth in that room at D-line. Then you look at the linebacker additions. You ran through those good players. In the secondary, though, you pick up a Jeremy Chinn. You pick up a depth piece in Alani Johnson Jr. You pick up an Eric Stokes, who I'm not over the moon about, but I still think we can quantify that as an upgrade. I think you're looking at a pretty darn good defense. Then you draft Darian Porter as well to fill another hole on the other side of your secondary at the other corner spot. I think the path here, and I'm glad that you put within 2 years, because I'm not going to project them to make the playoffs this year. I think it's going to be the following year. But I think the methods of the madness here for Las Vegas is run the ball and play defense. Give the ball to Ashton Jeanty. We're going to take the 7-yard check down to Brock Bowers and get him in some space. We're going to play 12 personnel with our big tight ends, and we're going to try and give up 17 points per game and score 19 points per game. That is what I kind of view the identity of this football team as to date. And I think if there's a guy that's experienced enough and seasoned enough to make something like that work and maybe get more wins out of a roster than he should, I'm going to put my eggs in the Pete Carroll basket, because I think he's still got a little bit of juice, and I don't think he would have taken this job to just collect the millions of dollars. He's got enough M's in the bank at this point. He wants to win, and he's got something to prove. So I like Las Vegas, and I'm tentatively starting to buy the direction. There's still a long way to go. I think Tom Brady's involvement is an undeniable positive for this organization. But yeah, I like...
You do?
I do.
I'll be honest. I think the Tom Brady part of it all has the chance to be a massive distraction. And a missing of the mark, if you will.
I can get behind that to an extent.
Now,
yeah.
We all know that he is a sound football mind, right? Tom Brady knows more, has forgotten more football than we will ever know. But we talked about it so much during last season of him having to juggle the roles between being the lead analyst on Fox and doing this job.
It's a boring line.
Yeah, where he can't go to every production meeting, he can only go to some. And I also feel like it's kind of a lazy, for lack of a better term, thing there for media to do. Like, it's something easy for them to point at. It's something like shiny object that you can point up. Look at all this is happening here because we have Tom Brady. Like, I just don't think he is that involved from a day-to-day standpoint. He's hopefully isn't. I just think it's more of a, look, we have this celebrity person within our front office, technically. But, like, I don't hear the Cleveland Browns touting Charles Woodson's involvement with their franchise very often. You know, there are other players who have similar, we're starting to see more kind of similar ownership stakes. I think a lot of it is just because it's Tom Brady, it's Las Vegas.
So he gave, like, a clarification comment a couple days ago, actually, and said that he wants to, like, rebrand his role in the public perception as the quote-unquote sounding board for the Raiders. I don't know what that necessarily means. He gave like a long-winded explanation, and I think Brady's kind of throwing some BS at the wall, if you want me to be honest with you, and trying to like downplay his role as much as possible. And I think we kind of speculated together on this when previously talking about this topic. I think he's more involved than he will ever let on, because I don't think he wants to give up that however many million-dollar paycheck he's getting from Fox, and I think he loves his broadcasting job, and I think he's actually pretty darn good at it.
I'm not there yet.
I think Tom got He got a lot better this year. Let me say that. He got a lot better.
That broadcast team would be 10 times better off if Greg Olsen kept the chair.
Agreed.
But that's not the conversation we are having here today.
That's not, unfortunately, we don't always work in an industry where the best person gets the job, sadly. That just kind of is what it is when it comes to the world of broadcasting. Greg Olsen mops Tom Brady. I do want to just say that. That's not even a conversation, but Brady did get better. Anything else to add on the Raiders before we shift gears? We got a couple other teams to talk about. I get the Brady distraction thing. I think it's good to have that guy's mind in the building, but I do agree that it can take away from what you're actually building at times with the media and the narratives and everything that could be swarming around it. But
yeah, it could also just give us a false sense of what's actually going on because Tom Brady's good at speaking publicly.
That is true. He's a PR god, and he's got all the people in the in his corner to help him out. So another thing on this list that I thought, I'm going to say fiction here, and I think you know I'm going to say fiction. You've got here the Eagles will have a Super Bowl hangover and miss the playoffs as one of your
topics.
So
the reason I brought up, and I knew you were going to say that, and I don't necessarily disagree, but and I'm curious to get your stance on this, because I find a little bit of pause when we get into a run where a general manager can do no wrong. I think you know the correlation I'm about to make here.
Yeah.
We have spent the last 4 years at this station, and I have been hearing about it from Braves fans nonstop. The genius of Alex Anthopoulos. We use that loosely. We have some fun with it, but I think there was a lot of belief that every signing that Alex Anthopoulos has made is a home run hire. He's a genius. He fleeced everybody. He's ahead of the game. Howie Roseman has been on an undeniable heater as of late.
Yeah.
How long can the heater go? And I just wonder with so much, I mean, what, playing in, what, two Super Bowls in 3 years? We did see the hangover, not the season that we just had, but the year prior after that playoff loss, the way that they imploded in the back half of that season. I think the Super Bowl hangover is real. And even, I believe, losing in the Super Bowl is even more of a real hangover than actually winning it.
Yeah.
But I just believe it almost feels like the Philadelphia Eagles have been able to press the easy button the last couple of seasons.
The team is loaded, yeah.
And I just feel like there's a little bit of, for lack of a better term, course correction. Because yeah. I just don't believe that every signing, every draft pick, every decision made within a sports organization can always be an elite decision. There's always going to be some reverse course.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And listen, like, the Eagles likely are not going to win the Super Bowl again this year, right? The NFL, do you think it's fair to say that the NFL is the hardest sport to repeat as the champion in? Because that's kind of the way that I view it. Maybe baseball? Baseball is pretty difficult because of how fluky it can be.
Baseball and basketball, I think it's a different conversation because of the amount of games and things that you have to win along the way to get back to that stage.
Yeah. And then you have single elimination playoffs where in the NBA, MLB, you have a bigger sample right. size because you have series.
You know, and as we've seen in football, that you can have one bad pass interference call be made, not be made, or the playoff draw can go one way and you're having to play in bad weather in a game where somebody else in the NFC is not having to do so. Like, there's a lot of different factors and variables. I see the growth of Washington. I still see Detroit as high as they are. I think the whole NFC North is going to be pretty good. You have the Panthers playing in the NFC Championship game.
I think the Panthers...
You know what I mean?
They're going to make the playoffs, though.
NFC is getting better around them. The division is getting better around them.
The NFC is loaded. So I don't think people realize
that's kind of to the point where not only is everybody around them getting better, but there's also some human element involved here that you can kind of take your foot off of the gas while being...
Have you seen the Eagles' schedule? Dude, murderer's row. Like, you start the season, Cowboys, Chiefs, Rams, Bucks, three of those four on the road, Broncos, Giants, Vikings, Giants, Packers, Lions, Cowboys, Bears, Chargers, Raiders, Commanders, Bills, Commanders. You're playing, out of the 17 games, I think there's a non-zero chance you're playing 12 or 13 playoff-caliber teams out of those 17 games throughout the course of your schedule.
Another reason why I want to bring up this topic.
I don't think the Eagles are going to miss the playoffs. I think the roster is too good to miss the playoffs, in all honesty. Saquon could go down, and then your running back's A.J. Dillon, and your whole conversation changes, right? Or one of the receivers could get hurt. I still think you'd be fine if the quarterback got hurt, in all honesty. But you could have major injuries and still probably find a way to get away with it, but it is really hard to repeat in the NFL. And I do think when walking out the strength and the caliber of the NFC, the strength of the Eagles' schedule, which has to be, I haven't done NFL schedule research yet, we're a month away from that plus, that has to be one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult schedule in football. And then to further that point, the Eagles lost some over the course of this offseason, especially on that defensive side of the ball. So I agree. There's always some natural course correction and pendulum swinging to come, and guess what? The Eagles aren't going to be able to turn a guy like Oren Burks into an All-Pro or Zach Bond into All-Pro caliber linebackers that are playing the best football of their career, right?
Now the problem is you're paying Zach Bond like an All-Pro linebacker.
Now he's got to play like it for more than 1 year. So we're going to see if Fangio's got the sauce again. We'll talk a little more NFL in the final segment of the week. If you want to get in and beat the buzzer at 654-ROAR, more than welcome here on The Roar. Stick with us.
Folks, I think we can all agree America is facing a health crisis. Lots of folks are looking at medication shots and pills to do the trick. But the reality is that the answer is natural. And the answer can be found through our friends at PhD Weight Loss. You're going to drop pounds not only safer, but also faster the natural way. I lost 24 pounds in 5 weeks without rebound weight gain, without hunger cravings, and without long-term dependency on medications because I don't want to be on medication for the rest of my life. And I bet you don't either. Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team would love to help you. Here's the deal. You can get started right now with a free body scan and personalized metabolic assessment. It takes less than 5 minutes, and I can't tell you how helpful it was for me setting myself up for success in the long term. You'll hold the keys to your personalized metabolic plan in your hand. Don't trade your health for a quick fix. Don't become another statistic. You can do this. Call now for your free body scan, 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
At Lake Kiwi Ford and Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we offer transparent pricing. You get the manufacturer's rebate. You get the dealer discount. You get every available discount. Military, college grad, subprime credit. If there's a discount you qualify for, we'll find it and give it to you. That's how Lake Kiwi guarantees you get the best price. And that's why if you buy somewhere else, you're going to pay too much. So come see us. We're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson and always open at lakekiwiautogroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford offer transparent pricing, meaning you get every available discount. And right now, the discounts are huge because at Lake Kiwi, it's the final days of employee pricing for everyone. You pay what the factory worker pays, not a penny more. And the best part, with Lake Kiwi's transparent pricing, you see all of the savings. So go see the team at Lake Kiwi. They're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson and always open at lakekiwiautogroup.com.
Searching for your dream home? Great Southern Homes is here to make it happen. Whether it's your first house or your forever home, we offer an amazing selection of plans and communities to fit every lifestyle. With endless personalization options and upgrades, you can create a space that's designed to fit your unique taste. From Clemson to Columbia and beyond, we'll help you find the perfect place, whether it's right around the corner or across the state. Discover greatness reimagined and check out our Clemson communities at greatsouthernhomes.com.
Bojangles just launched the new Breakfast Burrito. Sausage, gravy, eggs, and bow rounds all wrapped in a flour tortilla. But hurry, it's here for a limited time. It's bow time.
Tired of the same old look? Want to get a fresh, stylish haircut for the summer? Rooster's Grooming is the place to be. With highly skilled barbers and a comfortable, relaxed environment, Rooster's Grooming offers a unique grooming experience that's second to none. Whether it's a classic cut or a modern style, their team can make it happen. So why wait? Get your summer haircut at Rooster's Grooming. Make an appointment today by calling 864-884-8920. Rooster's Grooming, where style meets tradition.
Hey, Mom, checking in on you and Dad. I saw there was a huge storm in your area last night.
Oh, we're great. Power is out in our neighborhood, but thank goodness our Generac home standby generator gave us backup power so your father could sleep. We didn't skip a beat.
Oh, wonderful. I know that CPAP is his lifeline at night, and with me living a state away, I can rest easy knowing you're both safe. Love you, Mom.
Love you too, son.
Call Central Electrical Services at 864-556-8002 for your free estimate today and peace of mind for your loved ones.
The Roar. Better than any music you'll hear being put on hold. We promise. We are The Roar. Kick it!
Final segment of the week here on The Roar. 654 Roar if you want to check in. Hey, real quick, before we get back into the action and go around the horn, I want to talk to you guys about Burn Digital, your local full-service digital marketing powerhouse. They handle everything from powerful SEO to cutting-edge digital video campaigns on both the big and small screens with services like advanced geofencing. They reach your exact local audience. Get your message seen on connected TV ads, just like the pros. They understand the market and have all the tools to make you shine. A proud part of the Roar FM family, the same quality and community commitment you get from your favorite station here at The Roar. Discover how Burn Digital can make you stand out. Go online to theroarfm.com. And click on the advertising tab to get in contact. John, we've been talking National Football League. There are a couple more topics that I'm sure we want to get to there, but we're going around the horn in the final segment. So where would you like to start? Would you like to continue some NFL, jump to some college football, some NBA? Where are we headed here in the final segment?
I'd like to talk a little. We can wrap up some NFL, maybe call your shot on some NBA free agency moves, and I'd like to talk about the Atlanta Braves and what they have coming up over the next five games until the next time we are on the air.
Oh, yeah.
So, Faxon, I'm doing a little fact or fiction here. And we've been talking about your Philadelphia Eagles, and I want to throw one more at you in your division. Fact or fiction, for the first time in what feels like decades, the New York Football Giants will have an above 500 record.
I actually, I'm gonna say fiction, but I think they're going to get close. I don't think the Giants. I'm gonna say this. I don't think the Giants or the Cowboys are gonna be that bad this year. I think that both of those teams are gonna flirt pretty heavily with that 500 marker, or maybe even exceed that. So I'm gonna tentatively say fiction on that for now, John. But don't be surprised if that thing looks a little bit better than many anticipate this year in New York. Neighbors can play, and Russell Wilson is better right now than people realize or think he is.
I think I've got a pretty good understanding of where his game's at, and it's not all that great, at least in my opinion, what I saw last year in Pittsburgh. You know, you were talking during the break about the ridiculous schedule draw for your Eagles. It's kind of the same for the Giants.
Yeah.
You get the same division opponents and things like that. You know, rattle them off very, very quickly here: at Washington, at Dallas, Kansas City, Chargers, at New Orleans, Philadelphia, at Denver, at Philadelphia, San Francisco, at Chicago. That'll be a win for the Giants. There you go, Chad. Green Bay at home, at Detroit, at New England, Washington, Minnesota, at Vegas, Dallas at home. That's a tough stretch for a team that is still trying to find their way. I do think, though, if they are able to get above the 500 record threshold there for this team, it's going to be on the strength of their defensive front.
Yeah, that's,
you know, we
loaded.
Saw Abdul Carter pick, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau. They've got guys up front. So if they can disrupt a lot of offensive lines, and I mean, there's some pretty good units along the way for them, but I think that will definitely be the strength of this team. If they can disrupt a lot of people's offensive lines, they've got a chance in some of these ball games to keep Daboll and to try to grow this thing another year. But the schedule is tough, and I do believe that whether it's Russell Wilson, whether it's Jameis Winston, or whether it's Jackson Dart, that I think offensively they are fairly limited, even with, I do believe, a very good offensive-minded head coach. I don't know how many play callers can draw up a lot of big-time successful offensive drives with this personnel.
I think that the lack of running game is going to be a massive issue for New York this year. Like, to your point, I sit here and I look at the outlook of this team and I look at the roster and I actually really like what I see a lot of steps of the way. Like, you throw me a guy like Malik Nabers. I think Malik Nabers is going to be a number one receiver in this league for the next decade and a half. Like, I think he's that good. I think we're talking about another one of those crop of guys that's up next. You could sell me on a couple more of the skill position players. But when I look at the run game, John, when I see a team that is going to be oriented with their identity on the defensive side of the football, I want that to be directly coincided with a run game. And that's my biggest issue for the New York Giants this year. Can you have a consistent enough run game to where you can control the clock, keep your defense off the field, and have success? And I just don't know if that's the case with their current offensive line. And then are we still talking about the punch of Tyrone Tracy and Singletary, and then they picked up Scataboo, right? That's their trifecta.
But if Cam Scataboo can make an impact on this team the way in 1 year he did with Arizona State.
That's a good point.
You have something there.
If Scataboo is legit, that changes the game, but like, the Tyrone Tracy single, I saw enough of that last year to where I'm cool. Like, Tyrone Tracy's a cool little player. He's a nice complimentary back. If Scataboo can cement himself as the alpha in that room, and then you can use Tyrone Tracy and Singletary more sparingly whenever the situation deems fit, maybe New York has a little bit of something this year. But that would be my main concern. I'm more inclined to buy into Wandale Robinson and Darius Slayton than I am this running back room. And
That's totally fair.
And I have big concerns with their ability to run the football. So I actually like what New York's got going on. As I said, defensive front is super loaded. They're going to be a terror to deal with this year with Carter, Brian Burns, Sexy Dexy. They've got a ton of other good players up front as well. Back into the secondary is pretty good. I think Deontay Banks can play. You pick up Javon Holland from Miami. There's some signs of life here in New York. And Dable's a good coach. I will maintain that. I know what good coaching looks like in my division. Keep Mike McCarthy until the cows come home. Dable's a guy that I don't want around. Fire Dable. Get him out of my division, because if they let this guy stick around for a couple more years, he's going to figure something out, because I think he's a really good football coach and I respect him. So that's where I'm at on the Giants at the end of the year. For a divisional foe of my Eagles, I actually think they could be a little bit better than anticipated, John. So I'm kind of in alignment with you there.
We love to see it. All right, Faxon. We've got a few minutes left of the week, and there's five games of massive importance ahead.
Yeah.
For the Atlanta Braves. You dropped last night's game 4-0 in a very uninspired offensive performance, but you get to come back to the ballpark tonight. Most importantly, these next five are in Atlanta, where they are significantly better than when they are on the road. This Los Angeles team, I understand they have a little bit of a pitching advantage these next couple of nights, but that's not a lineup that should be striking the fear of anybody. And excited to see if Didier Fuentes can show up and, you know, try to prove that he has some major league stuff left, because we haven't talked about this part of it. Is tonight's start for him, on a scale from 1 to 10, how important is it that he comes out and shows you something of promise tonight with what we heard yesterday about Chris Sale?
10, but I also think we're probably in the position where if this goes poorly again, this is the last we see of him in the major leagues while you're still trying to compete.
Right.
Like, if this gets to the point, which is where I think this is trending, where the Braves are 15, 20 games under 500 at some point, bring all the kids up. Start Lara, start Fuentes. At that point, I want to see what we got, right? Let's who can help this team win next year when we get the cavalry back, right? When we get Sale right. And Lopez and all those guys. But right now, when you're still trying to like push for this little wild card spot and you're still like in the mix, games are important. Like, every single game is very important. So when you throw a guy that's 20 out there with an 11 ERA and he gets popped, like, you're just automatically waving a white flag for a day. And you're not in a position, if you do want to make the playoffs, to where you can do that. So if Fuentes responds today and they've worked through some things throughout the course of the week about where he wants to attack hitters and what pitch mix makes a little bit more sense at this level, and they've worked on the command, and he goes 5 and gives up 3, yeah, maybe he gets another start. But if this goes poorly like it did last time out, this is probably the last you see of Didier Fuentes at the major league level for a little bit. And that's probably how it should be, folks. He's 20.
That's totally fair. I think, obviously, you know, his start is important tonight. Jerickson Profar rejoining the team this evening is a big deal. We've been hearing about it since game 4 of this season. We've been circling this date for his return, right? As an outside party, I am very excited to see what the full look of this outfield looks like. We haven't seen it yet of Profar, Harris, and Acuna. Excited to see what it looks like this evening. But also, I think you have a chance this weekend for a little bit of a shot in the arm.
You do.
You have a chance to go up against elder man Charlie Morton Friday night in Truist with Schwellenbach on the mound, a team that has absolutely fallen apart. Orioles have provided a lot of get-right spots for people over the course of this season. Maybe this is just if someone on the outside looking in. You have a chance here to, if you do believe, because until I hear Alex Anthopoulos change the messaging, they still believe themselves to be buyers and still believe themselves to be contenders. You got to rack up some wins at some part. Like, you got to do it at some part. This is the time in which to do it. This team is much better at home than they are on the road. It's 4th of July weekend. Go capitalize on it.
Yeah.
Take care of business. Because I'm tired of being the only positive person when discussing the Atlanta Braves from 9 to noon around here. I'd like to see a little bit of positivity occur this week.
I'm gonna try and get to a game this weekend. I might go to that Sunday game. That's the 11:35 a.m. one. But yeah, man, it's tough to be – like, John, I promise – if you watch like inning 1 through 9 every night, it's an agonizing experience right now because the team is not anywhere near as bad as the record would indicate because of how elite the pitching is. I'm okay. I'm not a sore loser when it comes to winning and losing. When my team deserves to lose, I can call a spade and say, yeah, we took an L. When I feel like we get cheated, you know, I'll say that as well. I'm very objective, and losing doesn't bother me. I've pulled for plenty of losing teams over the course of my life. The fashion in which this team loses, and I think most Braves fans would agree with me, it's like watching the same game being copy-pasted with the pitching being great and one bullpen thing goes wrong and then you don't score any runs and you lose. But you do have a chance to turn things around, man. And we've talked about 500 before the All-Star break. That's still in play, but that's not going to be in play if you can't take a minimum of 3 out of your next 5 against Los Angeles and Baltimore over the course of the next 5 games. And, you know, Fuentes versus Kikuchi, Elder versus Soriano, Schwellenbach versus Morton, Strider versus Dean Kremer, and then Fuentes or whoever the open it's actually going to be Holmes, as they haven't updated it on ESPN yet. And then Holmes versus Rogers on Sunday with the Baltimore game. you've got the pitching advantage in like three or four of those five matchups, man. And if you can just continue to pitch the way that you've pitched and hope that maybe Austin Riley gets a little bit of a shot in his arm, right? He had those three hits. Yeah. What if he builds on that and hits a couple homers tonight and he starts to break out? Maybe Ozuna magically heals his hip with the nectar from the gods. I don't know. In all seriousness, though, maybe something swings. You know, there's been so much negative. Maybe there's a moment. Maybe there's a player. Maybe there's a play. Hey, maybe there's something that swings the energy in the building.
You said it's a player, right? Well, what does Alex Anthopoulos love more than bringing back the old friends? Charlie Morton being in the building may just provide the spark that this Braves team needs. Just to see old Uncle Charlie, let them feel better about themselves. Man. Who knows? Maybe Anthopoulos will work out a trade where Charlie doesn't have to get on the return flight.
I would take Charlie Morton right now. He's been excellent his last 10 starts. If it's pennies on the dollar, sign me up for some more Uncle Charlie. I always liked him, even though the Braves fans did not for the most part. But I do think a texter gets in with an interesting point about Fuentes saying, my take on the Braves is with the young pitcher that's going tonight is he's not seeing the bats go behind him, and that's a hard thing mentally for a young pitcher to have. Yeah. I mean, there's got to be some element of that. And another texter gets in and says, gave up one run last night and knew it was over. Pitcher feels pressure to be perfect. Yeah, and Holmes was essentially perfect last night, and it just didn't matter. So it is what it is.
60 seconds left. Does Shams do anything, or does anything happen in the NBA over the next few days until we are back on air that helps create a little bit of spark of this offseason, because it is quite dull?
I think we see Dame Dalla find a destination. I think we might see some role players end up getting exchanged. But, yeah, I think this is going to end up being a bust because I think Giannis is staying put. And respect to the Milwaukee front office, man. Every time that guy's had any inclination that he was leaving, they throw the panic button kitchen sink to try and make him stay, and it's worked every time. So respect where it's due there. And John, I think the Braves are going to go 3-2 over the next five. I think they're going to tread water a little bit. I think they're going to find a way to pick up a couple wins, and I think we're going to have a little bit more of a positive outlook coming in here on Monday morning. So hopefully the Braves can get it done. I'm going to try and get to a game down this weekend, hopefully that Sunday game in the morning. John, great job this week. Looking forward to Monday. Again, we're off the next 2 days because of 4th of July. Everybody have a very blessed 4th with your family. We appreciate all you guys listening, tuning into the program, chiming in with the program as always. And Kwok and Ben are up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens.